It's a genuine pleasure to be with you this morning to have the opportunity to speak on the subject of stewardship. And I'm looking forward to the day being with you in Bible class, which time we'll be discussing the subject, When God Says Enough, Enough. And tonight, keeping your books balanced, I hope that you'll pray for these services, you'll come be a part of them. Now turn in your Bibles to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, and mark that. After you mark Genesis chapter 22, turn in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to look at three verses from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse number 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. The story about Abraham and Isaac, to me, is one of the most touching stories in the Bible. And the death of our Lord and the sacrifice of our Lord is foreshadowed in the story about Abraham offering up his son Isaac. From Genesis chapter 22, there are a number of things that we learn about Abraham and Isaac. From verse 2, we learn that Abraham was commanded to offer his only son. And God gave his only begotten son for the salvation of the human family. According to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 3, Isaac was set apart for sacrifice. And Jesus Christ was set apart for sacrifice. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, yet by wicked hands crucified and slain. The offering of Isaac upon the altar was a transaction between a father and a son. And when Jesus died on Calvary, the earth was shrouded in darkness, hiding from the face of the world this transaction that was taking place between a father and a son. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter and verse 6, we learn that Isaac carried the wood to the place of sacrifice. And Jesus Christ carried his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem to Execution Hill. And then God provided the lamb for Abraham. He put his hand up to take the life of his son, and then there was a lamb caught in the thicket, and he took that lamb. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That lamb was offered in the place of Isaac, in the stead of Isaac, as a substitute. And Jesus Christ is our substitute. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. God called on Abraham to give the best that he had. And God did not call upon Abraham to do something that he was not willing to do. Because, you see, God gave his best. And right here is something that many people have never tried. They have never tried giving God the best. That's what God called upon Abraham to do, to give the best that he had. And that's exactly what he calls upon us to do today. According to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, God tested Abraham. He put him to the test. He said, I want you to take your only son. I want you to take the son of promise. I want you to give him up on the altar. Why, in reality, God did not want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. He was testing Abraham. He wanted Abraham to offer the very best that he had. And friends, God calls for the very best that we have today. He calls for us to give the best of our love, to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. He calls for the best of our labors. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He calls for the best of our loyalty. No man having put his hand to the plow, Jesus said, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And yes, he calls for the best of our gifts. Now I want you to write down Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. In Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 9 and 10, I want you to listen to what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We are to honor God with the first fruits of all of our increase. I doubt seriously there's anything that puts an individual to the test any more than the giving of his financial means. The material possessions is actually a test of our love. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, in verse number 8, there the apostle said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You see, he was telling those people that their giving was a proof of their love. It put their love to the acid test. It is also a test of our faith in God's promises, and His promises are sure promises. Peter referred to them as being exceeding great and precious promises. But how much faith do we have in those promises? Well, when I'm willing to give my best, that's testing my faith in the promises of God. But it is also a test of my concern for the lost people of this world. I don't know about you, but I thought of all of the people that have been killed over in Asia. I've thought about people who never had an opportunity to hear the gospel like you have heard, like I have heard. And isn't that sad? That there are many people in this world who've never had an opportunity to hear the gospel. I want you to listen to Paul's attitude about the lost of the world. In Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 1, he said, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Above all things, he wanted them to be saved. And down in verse 13, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Be hard to do that, wouldn't it? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? It'd be hard to do that, wouldn't it? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Yes, when we give our best, that shows that I really am concerned about the lost of the world. We have a responsibility to carry the gospel to the world. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We live in a world that is populated with over 6 billion people. What a responsibility we have. And we have the wealth in the churches of Christ to preach the gospel to the world. We have the preachers to preach the gospel to the world. We have the opportunities to preach the gospel to the world. I received a call the other day from some man in Georgia. And they're starting what they call the Gospel Broadcast Network, where churches of Christ will be broadcasting by way of satellite 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, preaching the gospel all over the world. Doesn't that thrill you? But you know what that takes? It takes people who are willing to give to preach the gospel. Our problem is that we have people who will not give because they do not have the concern for the lost of this world. There's a man who wrote a book, and he entitled the book, The Most Disbelieved Verse in the Bible. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? When he said the most disbelieved verse in the Bible is Acts 20:35, where the Bible says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I think the fact is, that's the most believed verse in the Bible. I really believe that's the most believed verse in the Bible, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why do we give to our wives? You say, well, I'll give to my wife because it makes me feel good, because I love her. And I know that if I'm good to my wife, she's going to be good to me. In other words, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know that, don't you? Why do we give to our children? You say, well, I give to my children because I love my children. I give to my children because I want the very best for my children. And I know that if I'm good to my children, then when I get older, in all probability, they're going to be good to me. In other words, you know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We believe that verse. It's the most believed verse there is in the Bible, not disbelieved. And when we come to love the lost, when we come to understand that people are lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, there isn't anything that would cause me more joy than to give to help preach the gospel to the lost of this world. Yes, it's a test. It's a test of my concern for the lost. God tested Abraham. Give your son. He's testing his faith. We're being tested today. Well, what response did Abraham give to that test? Look in verse 10. In verse 10, he stretched forth his hand. He took a knife in his hand. And he was about to kill his son. You know what would have happened had he done that? It would have cost him his home life. It would have cost him God's special promise that God made to him back in Genesis 12, that I'll bless all nations through your seed. But Abraham was willing to do it. Now we read earlier from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19 that he believed that if he took the life of his son, that God could raise him from the dead and still fulfill the promise God made to him. That's how much faith Abraham had in God. So he was willing to sacrifice his son. You know there are a lot of sacrificing being done today. Oh yes, we live sacrificial lives. We sacrifice to buy new cars. We sacrifice to buy homes. And brother, if you buy one, you sacrifice. We sacrifice to go on vacations. We sacrifice to buy jewelry. We sacrifice to buy pieces of land. We sacrifice to buy television sets. I'm talking about, you know, those thin ones that you can hang on the wall. And brother, if you buy one of those, you sacrifice. We sacrifice to buy DVD players and the DVDs to go along with it. We sacrifice to get a digital camera and all the equipment that goes along with that digital camera. Oh, there's a lot of sacrifices being done today. The fact is, we deny ourselves very little. We in America, we in the church in America, deny ourselves very, very little. But are we really sacrificing as we ought for the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And it's difficult for me to believe that we are. And let me tell you the reason. It is estimated that in churches of Christ in America, that our giving averages between 5 and 6%. There was a church in East Tennessee that did a survey of that congregation of 600 people. And they learned after studying it for about a year that their giving averaged about 4% per member. Brethren, I want to be just as kind as I can. But we'll never evangelize the world with a giving like that. We'll never evangelize the world on 4% giving or 5% giving or 6% giving. And the truth is, and I am to tell you the truth, that there is no record of anyone in any age of the world, patriarchal age, mosaical age, any age of the world, who ever gave less than 10% to the Lord. Why, the first record that we have of someone giving 10% is in Genesis the 14th chapter and verse 20, where Abraham gave tithes of all to Melchizedek. In Genesis the 28th chapter, verses 20 to 22, we have the example of Jacob promising God a tenth. If God would bless him, bring him to his father's house in peace, he said, I will give you the tenth of all. That's way back there in the patriarchal age. And then in the Mosaical age, the law of 10% giving was brought over into the Mosaical age. And the Jews were commanded to give a tithe or 10% to support the priesthood. That was referred to as the priestly tithe. That's one tithe. Secondly, they were commanded to offer a festival tithe. Now, that's two tithes that they were commanded every year. Then every 3 years, they offered a charity tithe or a poor tithe. Now, that's two tithes every year. Every 3 years, they offered a charity tithe. In addition to that, when they go out to harvest their fields, they were instructed to leave the corners of their fields. If they were to drop some of the grain as they were out harvesting the field, they were not to pick it up, but they were to leave that in the field for the fatherless, for the widows, for the poor, for the unfortunate. And in addition to that, the Jews were commanded to give certain free will offerings. So there is not an example of anyone in any age, whoever gave less than that. Someone says, well, are you trying to tell us that that is binding upon us today? No, you missed the point. I'm trying to get us to see that there is no example of anyone in any age whoever gave less than that. Now I want to read a verse to you that I'm sure is very familiar to you. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Do you realize that some of those people who received that letter were Jews? They came from a Jewish background. And when they read that letter, And they heard, Paul said to them, you give as you have been prospered. What do you suppose came to their mind? Having been taught as they had been taught, what do you think came to their mind? I believe this is where beginners get in. We begin our giving at a 10% level. I would be afraid to face God in the judgment having done less than that. And the truth is, if we would all in the churches of Christ start doing that, you would see a dramatic change in overall giving in the churches of Christ. You know, David said, I'll not offer unto the Lord that which doth cost me nothing. Christianity was born out of sacrifice. Those early saints laid it all on the altar for the Lord. And the true measure of a gift is what it costs the giver. I remember a number of years ago being in a meeting up in Lamar County, Alabama. And I was out with a preacher, and we were out visiting people in the neighborhood. It was out in a little rural area. And there was this gentleman sitting on the front porch of his home, just directly across from a church building. I said, let's go visit him. Let's go over there and invite him to come tonight. He was sitting there in a rocking chair with his overalls on, rocking away, you know. And I went up and I introduced myself to him and I invited him to come to service that night. He said, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear one of them college-bred preachers. He said, all they ever talk about is money. And if everybody would give a dollar, the church would have all the money it would ever need. With people like that in the church, you couldn't keep the lights on. You couldn't have these padded pews. You couldn't have this beautiful building. Much less preach the gospel and help the poor. Kind of reminds me of the fellow who was overheard in the doctor's office bragging about how much he made. And you'll recognize this was many years ago. I think that time he said he had made $50,000 that year. So that had to be a long time ago. And he was bragging about how much he gave the Lord. He said, I give the Lord $8 every Sunday. That man was a deceived man. And because he really believed he was being liberal, making a sacrifice. Let me tell you what will move us to sacrifice like Abraham did. That's when we come to appreciate the great love of God. When we understand verses like Romans 8:32, God spared not His own Son. He did that for us. When we read verses like Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. When we read verses like Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, when we were unlovely, when we were not lovable, He loved us. I don't understand that kind of love. Do you? I don't. And then for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting. Brethren and friends, giving began with God. Somebody says, well, why should I do it? Well, that's another verse I want you to write down. Write down Psalms 116 and verse 12. It's a question. Psalms chapter 116 and verse 12. And this is the question. What shall I render unto the Lord? Now the word render means to dedicate, to yield, or to give. Now with those definitions in mind, let's go back and read it again. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall I dedicate unto the Lord? What shall I yield to the Lord? What shall I give to the Lord for all of His benefits unto me? And how would you answer that question? Well, let me tell you what Abraham discovered when he gave God his best. And Abraham learned, and this is from verse 9 down about verse 12. Abraham learned that whatever you place on God's altar is not lost. It can never be lost. You see, there was not a hair on his son's head that was harmed. Not only that, Abraham received his son back. And not only that, Abraham in return received seed as numberless as the sands of the seashore and the stars of heaven. That's what he discovered. That whatever you place on God's altar is not lost. You see, you don't ever lose in giving. Never do. Write down Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11 and 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. That is an allusion to their sowing seed and maybe like planting rice in the water, and then that water, the rice seed come up and then they'll have a crop to come from it. You cast your bread on the waters. You sow your seed and there's going to be a harvest eventually. Do we believe that? Then you look at a verse like Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And that word fat is not talking about our physical man. It's talking about our prosperity. The liberal soul shall become a prosperous soul. Somebody says, well, I don't quite understand that. How can that happen? Not write down then Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. And in Malachi, the third chapter in verse 10, the Bible says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, whatever you give to God is never lost. It always comes back to you. And then there's Luke 6:38, where Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap. That's the way the New American Standard reads. They will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. And so it pays to give. Abraham had a new beginning in his life as a result of the sacrifice that he made. And many people live and die and they never receive the best that God has to offer because they've never given God their best. There are three things that happened in the life of Abraham. First of all, there was a new meaning of God in his life. In verse 14, you'll notice that he referred to God now as Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord seeth or the Lord provides. That's one of the ways that God is referred to in the Bible, as the God who provides. And God provides for us. If he will clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He provides. And then second, there was a new covenant made with Abraham. He said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that seed, of course, was eventually referred to in Galatians, the third chapter and verse 16, as being Jesus Christ. And then third, he made it possible for Abraham to live for the whole world. He said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham gave his best. That's our challenge today, isn't it? give our best. Caruso was of operatic fame, and he was called on one occasion to perform for a charity. And the organizers of the charity says, "Now, since this is charity, we don't expect you to do your best." And he replied, "Caruso never does less than his best." And may God help us to be inspired by Abraham of old to never do less than our best. If you're not a Christian today, we'd encourage you to become one and yield your life to Him who made a sacrifice for you. Come as a believer in Jesus, repenting of your sins. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ. You can be baptized into Christ today. And if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, you come right now while we stand.